The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer as we wrap up this week. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour. Got an exciting guest with us today. Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute is with us, and he's going to be answering a lot of questions, not only about the COVID, Afghanistan, and, well, a lot of other things, but we want to just encourage you to give us a call. And again, Brad is from the Pacific Justice Institute and has the Dacus Report. Airs on CSN Saturdays at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. And so, Brad, hi and welcome.
Well, great to be on the program. Thank you, Mike.
You know, we got so many things going on, and we like to set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible, from the Bible, look at current events, what we hear in church. Man, how important it is that we really know, because the what you believe is how you live your life. And, you know, Brad, there's so much going on with this COVID mandated vaccine now that's neither safe nor proven. I repeated 60% of over 60%. One of the ladies that we know works in the Magic Valley Hospital here reported, she said that over 60% of the people who have COVID in the hospital right now have had the vaccine. It's not working. What's your thoughts? What do we do with this? And I imagine you're getting millions of calls.
Yeah, oh, we are. We're overwhelmed with calls for people seeking assistance. But, you know, the facts are the facts. The original, vaccines for the virus seem to be working very well for the original strain of COVID-19. But now with these variants, it's not working well. And as we have more variances, the effectiveness is going to go down. There's going to need to be more booster shots, and then more variances, more booster shots. It's really very problematic. However, some good news is that those who've actually had the COVID virus, the COVID-19, they actually have a very broad immunity. So while other people are going to have booster shots, people who've already had COVID actually have a very, very high immunity towards different variants. And so that's very telling, I think, to some degree as to why maybe these children should not be given vaccines, but rather allow themselves to simply deal with the COVID virus and have a stronger immune system and not have some of the serious complications that have come out. Like, for example, over 800 teenage boys with inflamed hearts, for example. The latest tally now, I think it's over 9,000 people who've actually died from the COVID vaccine. Some people put that number closer to 30,000, but we've had validated over 9,000. So there's really good reason for people to be hesitant, but nonetheless, they need to look at their particular circumstance, talk to their doctor, look at their own risk issues that may be involved in whether or not they have a vaccine.
Yeah, so we want to really be aware of the times we're in. And if you got a question in particular about being forced to take COVID vaccination, today's the day to call. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number, and we'll do our very best to get to you. You know, Brad, again, since we've talked, it's been 2 weeks. Seems like it's been 2 years. The world's gone mad. The Middle East is a total disaster. Afghanistan is in such bad shape, and the handling of it, that even Democrats and almost all Republicans and independents are almost demanding the president's resignation now. What's your take?
I've heard that. You know, if he's forced to resign, it's not because of something, you know, scrupulous he's done, it would be because of a matter of just plain incompetency. When people are reviewing what's been done, what was directed, it's pretty obvious that there was some major competency questions coming into play regarding looking at how he's handled this matter, how his general, how his head of the Department of Defense, his competency, I think, is also on the chopping block for consideration. So I think that the president needs to be looking at that. And you can't have this kind of catastrophe without having responsibility recognized by someone somewhere in the government. And the first place we need to look, of course, is the top of that branch, which is the president of the United States.
Yeah. And some people have said that this is an equivalent and will go down in history of probably the top five blunders of warfare, going along with the Trojan horse and Waterloo and the pullout from Afghanistan. Because it's not just the pulling out of Afghanistan, it's leaving the tens, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of a state-of-the-art American war technology behind, now completely in control of the Taliban. And our American State Department, at Biden's wishes, giving to the Taliban the American citizens living in Afghanistan so they could clear to go to the airport. No, what they're doing is they're lining them up and executing them. So what's your take on why would any country give the enemy the whereabouts of the American citizens in Afghanistan if your current government is not part of the Taliban? In other words, it seems to me that our government is 100% in alliance with the terrorists at this point. Why would you give tens of billions, 8 brand new Apache helicopters that can be sold to China and reverse engineered? They can make their own. They don't have to spend a lot of years on technology or even stealing the blueprints for it. They can get the whole complete enchilada right there, sold to them, gives the terrorists money, gives China what they want. Countless, right, thousands of American Humvees and military vehicles. Why would anybody, and some people said that this is probably the fourth largest army now in the world, and they're a sworn enemy of the United States, but maybe in complete alliance with the Democrat White House right now. There's no logical explanation for this. So either somebody's getting paid a lot of money under the table, or in fact, the Democrat Party, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, they're all part of the same mess.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I really do. But the reality is, hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons are there that should not be there.
Should have been destroyed.
Should have been destroyed or brought back. You know, people can debate whether or not we should have stayed or whether we left, should have left. I understand that. That's a reasonable debate. What's not a reasonable debate is the way we've left, which is the worst way possible. So many lives now are in jeopardy. We have weapons that are now given to our enemies, high technology given to our enemies. As far as giving them the list of the Americans and where they live was insane.
Unbelievable.
Because the Taliban is not going to these places saying, knocking on the door, "Oh, you're American, we're going to escort you to the airport." That's not what's happening. They're being killed. Hung. That's what the evidence shows. That's what so far we understand. So it's a crisis. So many we promised that worked with us there in Afghanistan that we would not let them down. We wouldn't let them stay there to be executed by the Taliban if they ever came or if they took over Kabul. We've let them down. And while the British and the French are out there in the streets with their military getting their people out, the United States is staying in the airport. We're not going out there to get the Americans where we know they are located, different addresses. We're not doing that, and it's a shame. It's a shame on the United States and on the administration. This is something that none of us would have wanted in any way, shape, or form, and yet it's a dire situation. I know One thing we're doing at Pacific Justice Institute right now is we are, in the past, we've always defended for quite a while now religious asylum seekers who are from communist country, Muslim countries. I mean, we're the real thing, not people coming from south of the border who are lying 99.999% of the time, but real cases, okay, not the others. Well, right now we're reaching out to the Afghan communities, Afghan Christians in the United States, in churches and elsewhere, letting them know that we stand ready to defend the religious asylum seekers who are from Afghanistan, who are Christians, who are Jews, who are seeking protection from being sent back to certain death in Afghanistan. But we're very concerned about that, and we're already preemptively working on making sure these people get the protection and the defense that they're going to need.
So much to pray about, Brad. And these days that we live in, as I shared so many times, Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, redemption draws nigh. There's always been wars. There's always been famines. But when it's the whole world globally, and now because of this horrible nightmare blunder of the Biden administration, equipping known world terrorists with state-of-the-art American war technology, the world will never be the same. This was a blunder of magnitude proportion. This is the Trojan horse. This is the Waterloo. This is probably one, if not the top five blunders in warfare. We just did it. And I don't understand why every Democrat isn't demanding Biden's dismissal at this point. This is treason is what this is. And there's no other words for it. Nobody would ever do anything. And to not even protect American citizens. Now, if you're an illegal alien, oh, you get protection, free money, escort service, whatever you need. That's all yours. But if you're an American citizen helping our American GIs in a war, oh man, you're on your own, pal. Boy, that's the kind of country I want to be a part of. Not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got some real serious issues. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Johnny on the line, Athens, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hey, good evening, afternoon. I appreciate that information you all just shared. That's awesome information. You know, give me a little bit more insight on what's going on over there. You know, I was thinking even before the question about 2 Thessalonians, I want you all to kind of explain in detail who that is and what it is. Kind of give me a little bit more insight. But how does what they left, like all equipment, is that the same equivalency? Well, it can't be the same as like the – maybe give me a little insight of the Iran-Contra affair. I was trying to read on that about, I guess, the Oliver North situation. It kind of give me a little insight on how that may have even started the ball rolling over there against Israel or something like that. I don't know, maybe y'all give me a better insight on both of those, about 2 Thessalonians, who that is standing in the temple, and the Iran-Contra affair. How does that line up with the current administration leaving that, weapons over there?
Yeah, well, they know that they're there. In fact, in every military handbook, it says how to destroy the equipment, whether it's a two-way radio or whether it's a Humvee, how to make it where it will be not usable for an advancing army. They didn't do any of that. Nothing. And it would be different if we had to be out by a certain time. We could have taken 10 years to get out of Afghanistan. But no, we got to be out in a day, man. And the millions, billions of dollars lost. We just built a brand new billion with a B airbase there. Now completely in Taliban hands. Wow. This kind of wisdom you can find nowhere. It's got to be on purpose. There's either payoffs, Brad, something's going on, because it doesn't make any sense. Your thoughts, and then also your thoughts on Thessalonians.
Well, yeah, and as far as like the Iran-Contra affair, it's interesting you should point that out. That was way back in the 80s. What's interesting is, yeah, that was the money going from one entity to another, to Iran, and to fund the Contra rebels to fight the communists in Central America. It ended up being very counterproductive, sort of similar to Obama's giving countless numbers of of semi-automatic high-grade weapons to the cartel terrorists in Mexico, and in order to, quote, trace the terrorists, and it was a complete debacle. So I do want to make a difference between debacles and ethics of as far as policies, though, that are on their face just principally unethical and wrong in terms of what we've done to the Americans, what we've done to the people who've risking their lives in Afghanistan to help our country. That is very serious. But the greatest tragedy in a way, which really isn't being picked up on the news, is the technology that we have now lost that has been given to our enemies, the Russians, the Chinese, et cetera, whether it's the Black Hawk, the high technology, the biometric coding and tracking, high technology that
drones
they don't have. We're talking about, you know, an expedition of maybe 10 years of advancement overnight in the hands of the enemy because of this
traitor.
Incompetent.
Yeah, traitor.
Well, you say traitor, I'll say incompetent fiasco that is going to have serious ramifications, and not just the immediate multi-billions of dollars that have been lost away of equipment, but even worse is the conveyance of high technology information and data that our enemies will now have to expeditiously catch up with us in some of these areas. Very, very, it's a real threat to our national security, much more than anything else I've seen that could have happened in probably in my lifetime.
Yeah, this blunder is going to hurt America into the point of maybe not being a nation anymore. When you have compromised, given that much technology to the enemy, they didn't have to have spies over here cracking into our computers to figure out how this stuff is made. Biden gave it to them. Free, baby, free. Didn't even, nothing. And then is in collaboration with the Taliban, giving Americans and their addresses to the Taliban. Wow, being traitored by, they've got to be part of the Taliban. Our current administration has to be part of the terrorist organization. Why else would you do this? This is not, it can't be just a blunder. Brad, this something, my dad, I shared this yesterday and the day before, but my dad always had a saying, when it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And I go, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, when you can't figure it out, there's more to the story than you know. And that's why you can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because there's a big part of this story that has not been disclosed, whether it's under the table dealings, who knows what it is, whether they're out actually to destroy the United States, which I can't think of a better way to do it than what they just did. What do you think? I mean, because this is going to affect not only the United States, but the whole world, and especially Israel. And I think this is going to really give them the emboldenment they need for this Ezekiel 38-39 war. Your thoughts?
Yeah, emboldenment, I think, is a real important point. I'm glad you mentioned that, because what this does now is this emboldens China, Russia, our adversaries, to be all the more aggressive, whether we're looking at Russia potentially threatening to come into eastern Ukraine or expanding greater control possibly over Moldova or some other place, or China going ahead and having a surprise attack to take Taiwan before the Biden administration is over. Biden administration is, I mean, I used to compare it to Jimmy Carter's administration, seemingly very weak. It's actually weaker than Jimmy Carter's administration, because Jimmy Carter did not have dementia. Jimmy Carter, had some bad judgments. He was a micromanager, but nothing like this. And so our enemies will feel emboldened like never before to be as aggressive as possible before the next president takes the White House, which I think will be a president who will be very different possibly than Biden, and someone who will probably be very bold and very tenacious. I know, if, for example, if President Trump was in the White House right now, I personally would feel safer, more secure. That's my personal opinion. I don't want to be too political here, but perception of of the strength in the White House has an impact on our enemies' capacity and willingness to take risks and to even risk war to get their way, to advance their interests. And that's a very big concern we should have right now.
Amen. So now, in your question, going back to this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, what is your question there exactly?
I'm actually in the car. I can't remember. I was just reading on it about, I guess, the guy was going to ring and say that he was God and stand up in the temple or something like that. I can't remember it in detail. Mm.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, it's interesting you should bring that up, because some people believe that this was, fulfilled, when the Romans came in, took the temple and went into the temple, desecrated it after Christ. I think it was in about 70 or 72 AD. But most people believe that we're talking about something yet to come, that we're talking about the Antichrist. That's how I see it at this point. I see it as not just an Antichrist somewhere back in history, but the Antichrist, and will be a direct threat to Israel. They'll be pronouncing peace and safety, and then this will come to pass. But I think it's something that is in the future. Who is the Antichrist? I don't know. But that's something we need to be watchful for, and it's a very specific event which will be very telling, whether it's pre-rapture or post-rapture. I'm not sure on that. I'll punt that one to Mike.
Yeah, I believe that this Antichrist, who's going to wow the world, man of peace, a guy with all the answers, finally there's somebody that's 2 points smarter than a dirt clod running a country or the world. And the Bible says the world will say, who's able to make war with him? And he unites the world through religion called maybe Chrislam, maybe coexist, something. A form of godliness, but without the power of God, the Bible says. And he's going to unite the world. And he's going to strike a deal with the Jews to rebuild their temple there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, Israel, a place of the Jew, the Arab, the Christian can all worship together in the same place. And the Bible tells us that he is really 3.5 years into this reign of his, the 7-year tribulation period, 3.5 years into it. He declares to the world that he is God from the temple in Jerusalem, Israel. He knows the Jews are not going to accept that. And so he will bring swift retaliation upon the Jews. And that's why Jesus said, don't even go back into your house to get your coat, Matthew chapter 24, because the retaliation of this abomination which makes desolate will be so quick. I believe that this is into the tribulation period. I believe the church is gone. What we're looking for, we're not looking for the Antichrist, everyone. We're looking for Jesus Christ, who's promised to take us home. I hope that helps.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir, it does. And what was the gentleman's name with you today, Mr. Mike?
Brad Dacus from Dacus? Pacific Justice Institute.
Yeah, if we can ever help you. Yeah, Brad Dacus. I'm an attorney from Pacific Justice Institute. We defend churches, people of faith without charge all across the United States. So don't ever hesitate to contact us if we can ever help you.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Johnny,
thank
stay
you.
In line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. Use them for evangelism. With that, we'll go to Cecil, Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike and Brad. I had a question, but listening to you guys, I got a comment. It's an inside job, this whole Democratic government. They started back with marijuana legalization, and then they go to this vote sitting ballots home to people who don't want to work because they're smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
And all these handouts for people to smoke marijuana, and now they don't want to work. And I see so many for hire signs. Nobody wants to work.
No, it's everywhere. It's the way it is in Idaho here. Almost every store you go past has a help wanted sign. I know one of the places in town here that cut hair, they literally closed because they couldn't get anybody to go to work. They only had 2 people in there working where they used to have 8 or 9. So no, it's a real problem. And if you pay people to stay home, called stimulus, well, they're not going to go to work. And so, right. And they say after about 3 months of being on the dole, you will never want to go back to work because you want to do your own thing. So no, they're setting up. Karl Marx said that you cannot control people without vice. The vice of choice for Russia was vodka. The vice for America is going to be marijuana. And this is why our forefathers fought so hard to keep this kind of mind-altering drugs out of our country, because they know long-term what it does to a country, just as what it did to Russia and what it's done to other places. And so now in China, on the other hand, they don't have that kind of vice. They have death squads, where if you don't work, you're executed. And we hear stories all about it all the time of what goes on there. So yeah, there's things that motivate people to work, and there's things that definitely motivate people not to work. It's really important that we understand that, Brad.
Yeah, we have right now, as you said, Mike, countless numbers of jobs. I think over 1 million open positions, jobs available for Americans. And the government is paying people right now to not work. You're giving them extra money, $300, not a month, $300 a week to stay at home. Don't work. It is absolutely insane. There's absolutely no rational basis to this. Whether you're a monetarist or a Keynesian, whatever kind of economist, they look at this and just their mouths drop in shock that we are this inept in terms of fiscal policy. We're going to pay a price for it. Definitely, we're going to pay a price for it. The good news, I will say this, is that states, free states like Texas and other red states or free states that believe in freedom and liberty, and they said no, we don't want that in our state. And guess what? Their people are going back to work. They're being productive. Hats off to states like Texas.
Amen. So it's good. Hope that answers it for you, Cecil. And we'll come back to you. We got more. And we'll have more right after this break. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with a question for you. Has God been calling or prompting you to complete or perhaps start your college degree? At Calvary Chapel University, we're celebrating our new accreditation by offering you a 50% tuition scholarship off your very first class and 25% scholarship off the balance of your Calvary Chapel University degree. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off the first class you take at CCU and 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. Calvary Chapel University is fully accredited, 100% online, and 90% of our students graduate debt-free in Jesus' name. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off your first class, 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. The full station list is available through CSNRadio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Oh Lord, I am loved by you. Oh Lord, I am free in you. Oh Lord, I'm complete in you. So I will overcome. I will overcome. Lord, I'll overcome.
In all ways, at all times, we lift up the name of Jesus. This is CSN.
Hey And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Once again, I want to remind you, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd love to see you in church here this Sunday at the River Christian Fellowship. We're going through the book of Exodus, and we're looking at the children of Israel there as they just passed through the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was wiped out in the sea. How does that pertain to us? Well, come Sunday, you're going to find out. Starts at 10 o'clock here, Sunday morning in person, 10:30 on the radio, on CSN and on the internet. We want to encourage you to listen wherever you're at in the world. I know you'll be blessed. We were speaking with Cecil, and Cecil, your question is?
Is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, do you think it's the one world currency in the future, and should Christians invest in it?
Okay, Brad, your thoughts.
I don't know about the Bitcoin itself being the world currency. Actually, I think we'll probably see something else develop. But digital currency actually plays right on in with the end times in terms of buying or selling without the mark. I believe it technology-wise, it's all coming together to become something that's actually very plausible and actually welcomed and accepted. There are many people looking to that for purposes of preventing fraud, crime, fighting tax evasion, the credibility of currency. If the dollar collapses because of increased debt, there's going to be a need for some other kind of world currency. I can easily see such a world currency coming about. We know China's developing a currency from China. The United States is now in the process of developing its own national Bitcoin kind of currency, if you will. That could actually become the dominant world currency. And from that, even greater, much greater control of our lives, including potentially what we can buy and what we can sell, absent that and any conditions that come along with it. So I'm watching it very carefully, but I do think I see this easily as playing in to that element of prophecy very easily.
So I hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. And thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Alina, I believe it is, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. So I have a kind of a legal question, but it pertains to Christians too. If we lose the election in California to the recall election, can Christians have a class action suit against the government, or can they bring something individually under the U.S. Code 1983 for depriving people of their rights? They're giving it to they're giving our rights to the enemy. They're transferring all of our rights and our money and our property. Is that an option?
Okay, your thoughts.
Yeah, you're correct that under Section 1983 that you can bring a federal action regarding a violation of your civil rights and your liberties in that regard. We at Pacific Justice have utilized that in the past numerous times. In order to have a viable case, it has to be a very specific issue. So there are a number of specific issues that can be taken. Like, for example, when we had the shutdown of churches in California, while the other states had opened up their churches and ours were still closed, but they still allowed the pot shops and liquor stores and Home Depot to open, we went before the Supreme Court with such a case like that. Supreme Court, with an emergency injunction, ordered Gavin Newsom and the state of California open those churches now. That was this last March. That's the kind of cases that we're taking on. Dealing with the vaccine mandate, right now we're in the process of preparing more than one lawsuit addressing this travesty. Right now it's pending before, I think it's AB or SB 455 and the state legislature. It's something that's going to tell people you cannot buy goods and services unless you have a vaccine passport, effectively. You can't work unless you have a vaccine passport. Or have had the vaccine. We see this, if that's passed, that's an egregious overextension of the powers of government. We have God's blessed us with a lot of victories, and I'm fairly confident we'll have victories in this area as well. But Stay tuned. If you're not getting our case updates, I strongly encourage you to do so by going to our website. We have over 50 cases in active litigation right now, and they're growing by the day. It's at pji.org, pji.org. And we have, I'm going to mention also if I can, great resources involving the vaccine mandate, exactly what people need to do to claim a religious exemption or accommodation. It's right there on our website. Please look at it and send it out to everyone else. We're trying to help as many people as possible who are going to be fired, booted out of college, or court-martialed from the military as we speak. So I encourage people to get that information out.
You know, very quickly, Brad, their judge ruled that the governor of Florida, when he said that we're not going to abide by mask rules, now the judge says, oh, no, you overstepped your bounds. They can. And what's your take on that?
It's interesting because, frankly, we've seen this in other states, too, blue states, where the question is, can the governor make pronouncements that close everything down? When the governor has exceeded the 30 days or the 60 days, we litigated this up in the state of Oregon, and we won the federal court, lower court level, the lower state court level. And then the state Supreme Court says, yeah, it doesn't really apply here. This is an emergency. We're going to let the governor do whatever she wants. Well, 4 of the 7 Supreme Court justices there for the state of Oregon were appointed by the governor, Kate Brown. So that's somewhat problematic, and it shows how important character is. We can have laws all over the place, but if we have people in leadership and on the bench that lack character, then tyranny will still prevail. And that's a real concern. But I think moving forward, we're going to be, litigating more and more. We've pushed back Governor Gavin Newsom. On the other side, the governor of Florida has just had a pushback. I think that that will be appealed. And I think in the end of the day, the governor may just prevail. But this is a new area, a new era of government, of governors exercising their powers. And it'll be interesting to see how it falls in each state based on their state constitution and state laws.
I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
Lena, stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Beth, Victorville, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I hope everybody's doing well over there in your station. I have a comment, not really a question. And I'm going to say this with as much love in my heart as I have. The things that we're witnessing going on, not only in this nation, but all over the world, is because it's deemed by God. I think many people tend to forget that God's will supersedes all countries and all human will. And this is a time for Christians to remain deeply rooted in their faith, to trust in the promises of Jesus Christ, and to know that He is the one in charge of all things, not some things, but all things. And yes, it's hard to watch. And my faith and my belief is one that is truly believing that this nation must weaken. And it has to weaken because with a strong United States, as we've seen since the inception, there is no way that the United States would ever allow a one-world government to be ushered in. It seems as though we're partaking in the usherance of the growth pains towards a one-world government. So I just want all the true believers out there listening to not worry. Stay in prayer. Pray for those that are not saved and for those that are in very challenging situation, i.e. Afghanistan. Pray for strength of faith and just stay grounded and rooted in what we all know is truth. And
Beth, that's... Amen. That's true, Beth. And it's true. You know...
I agree.
We want to be sure that we've done, somebody asked me one time years ago, how much do you do and how much does God do? I think that's a fair question. I mean, really, if it's all in God's hand, then why even vote at all? Why do anything? It's just God's will. On the same time, we can't really believe this world is on a collision course with nothing, that we know that it's headed a certain way. The Bible tells us that. So, Brad, where do you think the balance point is? How much do we do? How much does God do? And I heard it said one time, well, we do everything that God's told us to do, and then the rest is in his hands. I think that's a pretty good, pretty good answer. Sometimes God does it all, like food being brought to Elijah by the ravens in the desert. Other times, Noah worked over 100 years on a boat. So when we look at it, where's the balance? What do you think? Do we set back and just watch it? Because I realize, and I agree with Beth, there's not much we even can do about it other than pray for those who are in harm's way. But when we see the wholesale insanity, what do you think?
I love what she said. I agree with what she said. The reality is, God's word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So it says, be anxious for nothing, which means we can trust God for everything. And so that's as far as on the worry and the trust. That's really clear. What's also really clear is that God wants to be glorified in our lives. We have a limited time that God has given us for him to be glorified through our obedience. God wants us to be obedient. So the real question we need to ask ourselves is, what does God want to do in my life for him to be glorified? Well, one is to pray and to intercede. God's glorified. One is to speak up for those being unfairly treated and just unjustly treated, the widow, the orphan, etc., to share the gospel, the good news of Christ, and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. God could make the rocks and trees, tell the story, but God has chosen to allow himself to be glorified through us and through our obedience. And so I really agree with that. I've talked to groups recently, and I've told them, the audience, I said, I see a lot of tension and frustration, anxiety in the room. There shouldn't be this, you guys. You trust in the Lord. God's going to do his work. If we're entering the end times, so be it. I mean, it's just, I don't know if we are or not, but the point is just be faithful, be alert, be watchful, and be faithful. And in the end, trust in the Lord. And that's what we need to be doing right now. Praying for those in Afghanistan, praying for our leaders. At the same time, be righteous and responsible as we call out leaders for evil and wickedness and injustice.
Amen. So, no, I agree with you, dear. That's what we need to do, Beth. And being about our daddy's business, that's what we have to do. Stay on the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Jamie in North Richmond Hills, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for what you do. I have two questions, but I'm going to ask my COVID questions first.
Okay.
I have a family divided. I have two daughters and two son-in-laws who think that, no way would they take the shot. And I do not want to take the shot. My husband has taken the shot. My sisters have taken the shot. And they give me a hard time for not taking it. I'm 70 years old, but one of my daughters is a geriatric physician, and she's not going to take it. So I have kind of wondered how I handle them, because now that, I used to could say it was not FDA approved, but now I can't say that. But then the other thing, the second part of that question would be, I just had an uncle that died last week who was fully vaccinated. His whole family was vaccinated. And of course he was older, but he died from COVID, and his children got COVID. And I know for a fact his wife got COVID and she was in quarantine. But in that family, the only one that had old blood was my aunt, who was quarantined. And I know some other people that have had COVID who have old blood that had very, very mild cases. Even my husband had that. So I just was wondering if there is really anything to that, and maybe how I can combat the people that are mad at me.
Yeah, Brad.
Yeah. There is a risk taking this vaccine, but there's also a risk not taking the vaccine, in that it's a fact, people, especially with the old COVID, where the vaccines were much stronger and more effective, it reportedly did prevent some people who are high risk from dying that otherwise would have had they not had the vaccine. That's the information, at least, that we've been given. You have to look at your risk factors. So one is your age. So you're 70, it's not 80, but you're not 60 either. So you want to look at your age, your weight. I'm not going to ask about your weight, but I'm going to say people, though, who are overweight, have a high BMI index, they have a higher risk. People who are diabetic have a higher risk. MS, immune issues, they have higher risk of dying from COVID. At the same time, the people who are like, don't want to take this risk, I will say for people who don't want to take the risk, then they need to take responsible precautions at this stage. This Delta variant is spreading like wildfire. It's spreading 2.5 times faster than the old COVID-19 virus. So it's coming quickly. It's going to peak. It's supposed to peak by about the end of this month, most project. Then it's going to go down. We could maybe by October or November, this thing may have played itself out. There may be another one coming. I would quarantine yourself to as much as you can, reasonably wear your mask. Personally, this is what I would do if I was in your situation. And then I would seriously look into getting the new vaccine coming out, Novavax, which is a traditional kind of a vaccine, the same kind that's used to make the flu or influenza vaccine. Take a look at that. I'm not endorsing it, but that may be the answer to many people who do not want to take the riskier vaccines that are right now being made available. But you need to also talk to your doctor and look at your situation and your circumstances and weigh that out. There is a risk. I know of people. I know one person who is 27. He died. Right after he had the vaccine, his nose started bleeding. He was in the hospital 2 weeks and suddenly dead. Just had his body just start hemorrhaging and reacting. So there are risks. You need to look at both risks, and that's why we need to have the freedom to make those decisions, not the government. And the more the government tries to control, the more I want to push back personally.
Yeah, what was it Ronald Reagan said? The scariest word you'll ever hear is, "Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." He said that.
Very true. Very true today.
Was good. And then we have another variant now coming out that's more aggressive than the Delta, and it's the Lambda. And they trace it to Cuba. And with it comes a lot of bacterial infections as well. And I have a friend that died of that a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Shannon's father-in-law died of that a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it's very, very violent. Right. And so it's troubling to see this. But I believe this is the age of sorrows. We find it mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. And there is no way out because, again, remember, this is a man-made disease. It morphs and adapts just as many diseases today. You know, penicillin was the cure-all for almost all infections 100 years ago. Now penicillin is almost the bacteria have become immune to it. And this is the problem in morphing diseases. And so you have, you know, COVID original, then you have, you know, COVID tier 4, you have the African version of COVID, you have the COVID Delta virus, you have the COVID Lambda now. And who knows how many more? And if every other week you got to be getting another shot, how many parts per million can you stick in your body before your body shuts down? Well, the unfortunate thing is many are now. You know, what you just shared, Brad, was very true. I don't know. You know, I talk to a lot of people. I know and almost everyone knows someone who took the vaccine and died. Isn't that weird? I mean, yeah. I mean, you look at this. Or had such a violent reaction that they're not normal or probably won't be normal again. And I'm saying that if this was so safe, why are we hearing this? And then they cover up the tens of thousands of people who've died, just like your friend did, within just hours of taking the vaccine. And it's effective. Well, no, it's not. When you have people that are fully vaccinated coming down with COVID, it isn't effective, and you have the risk of the shot itself. So I don't know. I'm not saying to get it or not get it, but I know for me, I wouldn't at this point because people say, well, it's FDA approved. But if you study the FDA approval, the way it's supposed to work, observation for 10 years, they didn't do any of that.
No.
They pencil whipped it through. Now, right. I don't know if somebody got paid off. See, whenever I see something like that, I always think, hey, you're getting bought off. Somebody's paying somebody to do something, or somebody's scratching somebody's back for another favor down the road, because that's how government works. Yeah, I know. I'm from the 60s. Question everything. Question government, because I don't buy the chili. I'm sorry. I just don't. And when, like you say, Brad, when you yourself know people who have died taking the vaccine, when I know people, lots of people that have died taking the vaccine, all I can say is, I don't know. I had COVID. I'm still here. Yes, I did die, but not from COVID, from a COVID blood clot 2 weeks afterwards. And like I say, I think the doctors told me, if you're over 50, you should be eating a baby aspirin a day. And probably if I had done that, I probably would have never got the COVID clot. But I did get it, and it did kill me dead for 2 minutes. They brought me back, paddled me with 200 joules, whatever a joule is, they used 200 of them on me. And he goes, oh, you're going to be sore tomorrow. You were flying off the bed when we were blasting you. I go, oh, that's neat. But I never had any pain and recovered, and I was back at work within a few days. So they did put a stent in, though. But it is real. So, James, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. I will say this. If you've had COVID before, COVID-19 before, then I would definitely not get the vaccine. Doctors have made that really clear. CDC has made it clear that people who've had the COVID have an immune system at least as strong as the vaccine. And people who have the vaccine afterwards can have complications, even greater complications than the average person who has the vaccine. So knowing that is very important. And knowing that if you have had the COVID, you have a broader and stronger immunity. You will probably not need to ever have a booster shot for one of these variants that are coming out, because your body's immune system has developed an antibodies for the entire vaccine, for the entire virus, the way God does it perfectly, not just part of it, not just the spikes. So that's just something to take to heart. If you've had COVID, know people have had it. If you don't know if you have, you can get an antibodies test, and that'll tell you a lot. And then also, beforehand, if you decide not to get the vaccine, take your increase in your vitamin supplements, your quercetin, your zinc, your vitamin C, your vitamin D3. You should have higher levels of those, much higher levels than those. Talk to your doctor about that, as well as your B vitamins. And then if you start to get sick, this is real important. Dr. Hoffman talks about this. If you start to have early symptoms, then immediately go to your doctor so they can give you the antiviral treatments, which are very effective early on. After 4 or 5 days, the effectiveness goes way down, but you can really nip it very effectively if you're quick in responding to it and getting the doctor and not just staying at home waiting to get better. You need to get those antivirals treatments immediately.
Amen. Jamie, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Ricky, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Good. How can we help?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for all your service, both of you, to the saints. I really appreciate it. Brad Dacus, that's for you and your organization, as well as for all at CSN Ministry. What a great blessing and a great service you provide, and we're very thankful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So the reason I called in today, though, is because I was made aware of a festival going on, and you can live stream it for free, and I'm going to give you the information. But what it is a bunch of pastors that have gotten together, and they are offering, you know, encouragement. They are calling for unity. They are giving information on the takeover that's happening in the government and how to stand up against it. One thing one pastor said that was fascinating is that we are actually in a health care shortage in our hospitals and a lot of our doctor's offices. And if the nurses that are being pressured to take the jab or lose their job, all it would take was about 50 for each hospital. They don't need half the staff. About 50 of them to stand together in unity and say, we're not taking it.
Yep, we're out of time. Ricky, what's the web address real quick?
Sorry, okay, it's Brighteon, BRIGHTEON.TV, and it's the live broadcast Saturday and Sunday. And
all right.
Thank you.
Well, lots to know. Nancy, Ryan, Cookie, Glenda, we'll put you on first thing on Monday. Brad, thank you so much for being on. Enjoy your program. Have a blessed weekend, y'all.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.